Well, what should we preach on today? By the way, in my defense, the last 3 or 4 times that I've preached, I've gotten finished on time, and I've got it recorded, so that you know I can push back. Matter of fact, Pastor, you've been taking my place in preaching long, but it's not going to happen next Sunday. Okay. I was thinking of, you know, what to preach and asking God what to preach. And I thought what I'd do today is a little bit of a memorial. In John, the 11th chapter, and it's kind of lengthy. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to make a few points here. It says, "Now a certain man was sick. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after that, said he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and afterward that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe, and nevertheless let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, or twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at that last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we're so thankful for your love and your mercy. And for the next few moments, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that you will use me to bless hearts. Help us to see in the Scripture that no matter what trials we face in this lifetime, that those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ shall live for all eternity. Bless now, in Jesus' name. Amen. A certain man was sick. I don't like being sick. I'm probably one of the worst people getting sick. How about you? I am miserable. And they've always said, misery loves company. When I am sick, I want everybody around me to be miserable. Because I am miserable. I hate being sick. I like to pass it off to somebody else. I don't like pain. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm a chicken when it comes to pain. I go see the doctor and they want to take blood and I got to cross my eyes and go, okay, take it out. Go on, hurry up. In fact, last time I gave blood, I asked the young lady there, I said, how long have you been doing this? Is this the first time, the second time? Have you been doing this quite a long time? Are you experienced at this? She joked with me. She said, no, you're the first. And stuck the needle in my arm, you know. But the fact of life is, people get sick. People get sick. I don't like the thought of a loved one and a friend dying. I've had to bury several years ago, matter of fact, a little over 50 years ago, I had to bury my adopted father. He died on a Sunday morning. I was the last one in our family to see him. I took him to work on Sunday morning. About 26 miles away, we lived in Ventura, and he was doing he was a cement finisher, Pastor. He worked in cement, and he was on a job about 26 miles away, and he bent over to nail a form just before they were about to pour the concrete. And just kept on going, and he died. And my mother was so distraught that it all fell on me. I had to make all the arrangements and everything for my father. And it was hard. That day was a very, very hard day because I had tried to witness to him several times, and he refused to listen to the gospel. I had my pastor come by and our associate pastor come by and talk to my father, talk to him about his soul and about eternity, and he rejected Jesus Christ. And to my knowledge, he died in his sins without the forgiveness of salvation. So it upsetted me greatly. A few years after that, I was preparing for going into the ministry, and we went down to Pomona, where the school was, Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College. And that's where I met my wonderful bride-to-be. And we were planning on the wedding. It was going to happen in July, and it did happen in July. On May, the Memorial Day of May, I went home to see my mother, which was something that I did on a regular basis. I went home at least once a month and spent a weekend with my mother. And I would talk to her about the Lord. She even came, heard me on my first message preached, and it was all over. She says, boy, you're going to be a long-winded one, aren't you? But she heard the gospel message, and I tried to lead her to Christ, and she would always give me, well, you know, I'm not a real bad person. Maybe someday I'll get into heaven. And I couldn't lead her to Christ. And anyway, I went home and spent the evening. She at that time I was a slim, mean machine. I mean, I weighed 145 pounds. My wife had a name for me, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but she had a nickname for me, and it wasn't very pleasant. But my mother was always concerned that I was not eating enough and wanted to fatten me up. So she took me out to a restaurant. It was it was called Pierpont Restaurant, and it was sitting on a cliff overlooking the ocean. Beautiful restaurant. And we had a steak and fish and just got stuffed. And we talked a little bit and went to bed. And I'd always made it a point that we would say all of our goodbyes on Saturday night. And then I'd get up about 4 o'clock on Sunday morning and I'd drive back down into the Los Angeles area to take care of the services that we would have. And I did that. And when I got home in the college that night, the dean was there and met me and asked me if I had gone home that weekend. As I had said, I had gone home and I affirmed that I had. And he says, well, I've got some bad news for you. Your mother passed away. And it kind of grieved me because I couldn't lead her to Jesus Christ. And it bothered me because now she was in eternity. But you know something? We don't always know what's going on. As I was going through the things in her personal effects, I came across a letter from the First Baptist Church of Ventura congratulating my mother on her decision for Jesus Christ and following Him in believer's baptism. Woo! I'm going to have a talk with her because she didn't tell me about that. It led me to believe that she had never trusted Christ as Savior. I bring that up because people die. And it's not a pleasant thing. But you know, when it's somebody that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, there's mixed emotions. And the emotions are, I'm not going to see this individual for a while. I'm not going to have the personal contact that we have. But I know that if they've trusted Christ as Savior, that someday I'll see them again. And I can think about several people down through my lifetime that have gone on off into eternity. Like I said, my father, and off into eternity without Jesus Christ, to my knowledge. But my mother got saved. I think of my grandmothers. Of course, you know my testimony. I was adopted when I was 3 years of age. I have 5 brothers and a sister, and I was raised as an only child. I did not have grandparents. How many of you had grandparents when you were growing up? You had a grandma or grandma? Okay. You were fortunate. I did not have grandparents. But I got a chance to meet my two Grammys. I got a chance to meet my birth father and my birth mother. And I got a chance to go up to Klamath Falls, Oregon. And I met my father for the very first time. One of the joys of my life is I got up early Sunday morning and there was a little Baptist church about 3 blocks away from where my uncle lived, where we were staying. And I got up and we were getting ready to go to church. My father walked out and he's got a suit on and a Bible underneath his arm. He said, "Let's go to church, son." And we walked together and walked in the back of the church. And just the first time in my life, my real father, my birth father, said, "This is my son." You could see the pride on his face that he could introduce him. And I found out that he had trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A few years later, he died. I was saddened on the one side that I would never be able to go and see him again, but I hadn't seen him in 25 years of my life. But I wasn't going to be able to see him anymore. But I also had joy because I knew that one day I'd see him again. And we could walk down the streets of heaven together once again. I think of my Grammy, my two grandmothers. I had a grandmother Reagan and a grandmother Nat. And I think the one professed Jesus Christ as Savior, the other rejected. My grandma Nat, I was talking to her and she told a testimony of how she had trusted Christ as Savior as a young girl and had lived for the Lord. She had been a Sunday school teacher for years and years and years. And with tears in her eyes, she said, "I've been praying for my grandsons and been praying for my son." But she said, "I pray that they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior And she said, I've been praying that I would have a grandson that would go into the ministry. I was the answer to her prayers. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. She died. They both died. One of them I'll never see again, but I'll see her again. One of these days, we'll walk down the streets of heaven, and I'll see my Grammy again. I think of some friends that we've had in Bible college. And here were two young men who believed they were called of God to preach the gospel, and they were preparing for the ministry in Bible college. One of them had been a hippie and had been into drugs and been into LSD. You could take a trip, and stuff. And he was in heavily in that. But someone had shared the gospel with him. His name was Rusty. Rusty Feliciano. It's taken me a week and a half to remember his name. So that's doing good. He drove a red VW van. And he told the testimony how God had reached down and touched his life and saved him out of that life of drugs. He was preparing for the ministry. He was serving God. He would go out every afternoon with gospel tracts and go on the street corner. He was a street preacher. He would go out and he would preach the gospel and hand out gospel tracts practically every afternoon. One day, we were notified that he had gone. He was dead. They found him in his van. They believed that he'd had a flashback because of the LSD had fried his brain. And he couldn't go on. There was no more Rusty. But one of these days, I'm going to see him again. One of these days, we'll walk down the streets of heaven and I'll see him again. There was another young man preparing for the ministry. And I'll have to rely on my wife to remember his name, because I've tried to pull it up and there's just so much back here that I just haven't been able to get to that portion. Serving the Lord, but he started having problems with his elbow. And what was his name? Donald. He had a twin brother. I remember that. And it got so bad it was cancer. And they had to cut off his arm. But he was still serving the Lord. He's still going for God. But the problem was is they didn't get it in time. And the cancer spread to his lymph nodes. And it wasn't long before he passed out into eternity. Couldn't go on for the Lord. But one of these days, I'll see him again, walking down the streets of glory. And he'll have both arms. He'll be whole. I believe I was fortunate because God led me to a wonderful woman. She's put up with me for over 50 years, and I'm not easy to put up with. But I was also fortunate because I had wonderful in-laws. You know, I've heard a lot of in-law jokes, but my mother-in-law and my father-in-law were beautiful people. They both knew the Lord, and they both loved the Lord. Matter of fact, my mother-in-law at our wedding came up and put her arm around me and she said that I was going to be her son. She was adopting me. Now, not in the legal standpoint, but she was just letting me know that she loved me. And I remember taking care of her when it finally came down. She was getting dementia and getting to where she couldn't live by herself, and there were those that wanted to put her in a home. And I remember saying, no, we won't put her in a home. We'll take care of her. We brought her here. This is when we came back. This was 20 years ago. Because we came back here to bring my mother-in-law so that we could be close to where Cheryl was teaching and close to the church. And she stayed with us. We brought her to church and she couldn't remember things. She couldn't remember what happened 15 minutes ago. She could tell us what she did when she was 6 years old, but not what happened 15 minutes ago. And she would tell us the story, what she did when she was 6 years old, But then she would forget that she told us the story, and about 15 or 20 minutes later, she'd tell us the story again. And then she would forget that she told us the story, and about 15 or 20 minutes later, she'd tell us the story again. She got to where she did not know a whole lot of people. She got to where she would look at me and she would know that she was supposed to know me, but she wasn't quite sure if she knew me or not. But you know something? What blessed my heart more than anything is at nighttime when no one was around, I could hear her praying. And she would just say, "Oh, sweet Jesus, I love you. And I'm ready to go home anytime. But if I can still be a blessing, let me be a blessing to somebody." She's a blessing to me. And then I'd hear her start to sing some old gospel hymns. And she would sing them. And I thought, wow. She can't remember people. She can't remember what's happened yesterday or the day before or that or that. But she can remember Jesus. And let me tell you something. When you meet Jesus for real, when you make it personal rather than just a religious event, when you make it personal where you know Him, you don't forget Jesus. And then God took her. She was 95, 93, 96. She was up there. God took her. But one of these days, I'll see her again. I'll walk down the streets of glory with her once again. And we'll have sweet fellowship. My father-in-law was a quiet man. He was from Oklahoma. He was a farmer. And you can take the boy out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy. Down in Garden Grove, now if you don't know where Garden Grove is, it's 4 miles from Disneyland. Everybody knows where Disneyland is. Garden Grove was 4 miles from Disneyland. Had a little bit of, that's where they lived. He had a garden there. They grew all sorts of things. And for years and years, we would have fresh grown corn, fresh grown green beans. We would have, you know what he gave me for Christmas every year? He gave me a 3-pound coffee can of homegrown popcorn that he had grown and shucked himself. Oh, it was so nice. Every time we went down there, we went back with jars and jars of canned vegetables. He was a farmer. He had a green thumb. I don't. I've got a black thumb. Everything that I get dies. But he grew everything. He didn't speak much. But every day, he was in God's Word. Every day, he read his Bible. And I think he passed away in May. April or May, somewhere right around in there. You know, he had already read through the Bible all the way through, and he was on his second time through reading the Word of God. And he came in, he said, "I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go lay down." And he laid down to rest and woke up with Jesus. I can't have fellowship with them anymore. I can't get on the phone and talk to them anymore. I can't send them birthday presents or Father Day presents or Mother Day presents anymore. But one day I'll be able to see them again. And we'll walk down the streets of glory. I think of some of the folks here in this church. I think of Brother Buckler. Brother Buckler, a deacon in this church, faithful God, faithful as can be, went out whenever he could and when he could physically to hand out gospel tracts, shared the gospel, godly man, now in heaven. I can't fellowship with him anymore, but one day, I'll see Brother Buckler again. I think of others. I won't mention all of them. The last one I think of, you know, and there's been several others. I think of Kathy Heyer. Boy, we get a kick out of her. We always teased her about coming over on the ark. And Tim Schmidt was just I mean, he just kept after her and kept after her. And another one who just loved the Lord and faithful as can be and prayed. She was a prayer warrior. If you needed prayer, you could tell her and she'd pray. She prayed for Pastor constantly, prayed for Pastor. She prayed for our family. Tremendous prayer warrior. Her husband Bob, the same thing. They're now in glory. They're now together. We can't fellowship with them anymore. All we can do is remember who they were, and we can remember their testimony and the life that they led for Jesus Christ. And the thing that I can see, the ones that have given their life to Jesus Christ have never regretted it. All the ones that have lived for the Lord have lived strong for the Lord and never regretted it. And someday we will be together and we shall rejoice with them. So in this event, when Jesus went about his friend Lazarus, well, he knew what he was going to do. Lazarus was sick, and apparently the sickness was to the point that he died. But Jesus knew that that wasn't the end. That was not the end. And Jesus told his sisters, when they said, you know, this is the end, it's over, Jesus' response to them is, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's what we need to see, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in Him, though they were dead, they shall never die. They'll live forever. And if we can only get that in our minds, that will change our lives. A person who's never experienced the true born-again experience of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't know what it's like. You really don't know what it's like. And you can have all the religion that you want. You can go to church as many times as you want to. You can read the Bible as many times as you want to. You can grow up in a Christian home. You can go to a Christian school. You can go to a Christian university. But if you haven't experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. And he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he says, this is not the end. This is for the glory of God. And my friends, the last one, Brother Charles, Brother John, separated between 2.5 years, separated, but they're together now. And if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, someday you'll be able to greet them on the streets of glory. Someday, you'll be able to see them. I had 14 more points, and I'm not going to give them today because you'll accuse me of preaching for 4 hours, and I'm not going to do that. But I heard this song some time ago. It was really quite a blessing. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to read it to you. Now, it's not, some of the words is not totally biblical accurate, but it gives us the idea. It says, I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven, praising the Lord, and watching the saints roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you. And somehow I know that if you could, that you'd let me know that you're doing fine and it doesn't hurt anymore. Things couldn't be better, that heaven is worth waiting for. That you miss me too, and that you'll be praying for me. And I know that if you could talk to me now, that there's what there, this here is what you'd say to me. Wish you were here. Heaven's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here. Nothing but clear, sunny days. Never a rain and no complaints. And we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. I can just see them walking on the shores together. there talking with Jesus, safe and secure in His love. Friends and loved ones walking in heavenly peace. And I know if they could talk to me now, then here's what they'd say to me. Wish you were here. Heaven's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here. Nothing but clear, sunny days. It never rains, and no one complains. And we haven't seen a tear. Having a great time. Wish you were here. Well, it never rains, and no one complains. And we haven't ever seen a tear. But we're having a great time. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Of all the ones that have gone on, walking down the streets of glory, if you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they would say to you this morning, wish you were here. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's awesome to walk with Jesus hand in hand, safe in His love. Wish you were here. As believers, the ones that have gone on before us, they would say, wish you were here. Looking forward to meeting you once again. And we'll have fellowship one with another and with our Lord so dear. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. My question this morning as we close is this, is how have you been living for the Lord? How have you been living for the Lord? Is your life a testimony of the grace of God? Your unsaved friends and your unsaved loved ones, can they see Jesus in you? And if they were to pass on, have you shared the gospel with them? Could they see and have a desire for salvation in you? I hope and I pray that in my life, when the time comes, now, I'm not planning on going right away. But the time won't be too much longer. I may have another 20 years, maybe 25. I may even have another 30 years, but I don't know if I want to be that old. But I'm hoping in the life that I have lived, in the life that I will live, that people can see Jesus in me. That I will be a testimony to them. So when the time comes, they can be walking down the streets of glory too.